Hi, this is Dan Korber, pastor here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church. We're a small Baptist church located in Owosso, Oklahoma. We're small enough to know you, but we're big enough to serve you and for you to serve as well. Our vision is to rescue, restore, and return to service. Rescue a non-believer or a believer who has been hurt or is lost. Restoring them to Christ in fellowship with other believers with the desire that they in turn will help others along their way.
All right, we've been going through the Moses, obviously gotten through
that's just nice to have.
19th one or thereabouts. It won't be like Donald Ray Barnhouse, I promise. He preached through the book of Romans for, took him 15 years, so I won't take that long. Possibly next week will be it, but you know, as we stop, as people get older, they often think of their legacy and desire to be remembered. We see that often. They'll give large sums of money and have buildings, libraries, stadiums named after them. Is this a lasting legacy? For instance, where University of Tulsa plays at what stadium? What? Chapman Stadium. H.A. Chapman. But that wasn't what originally was called. Skelly Stadium, because Skelly donated $125,000 that many years ago, and the stadium was named after him. But when they needed some renovations, Chapman donated the money, so they now have it H.A. Chapman. But we call it Skelly Field at H.A. Chapman Stadium. But it's often, not that, you know, some people make that a requirement, others don't make it a requirement, but just an honor to them, they do that. But I want you to think about it. Is it a lasting one? You think about it with Moses. He's been gone for a few thousand years, but yet he has a legacy that lives on. Why does his legacy live on, and how does it live on? And I think those are some questions we can really ask. And so we're all looking at a legacy. You have a lot of people today, you know, they'll have libraries named after them. They'll do all kinds of stuff. Let's look at Moses' legacy and see if we can learn just a few things out of Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. It's interesting, there are six verses that's designated just to him. Abraham had several, but a lot of them just have one verse or part of a verse or whatever. But again, that's just because of the Holy Spirit. But, and what I want us to look at on the legacy, you're going to have different parts. Three main parts you're going to have every time. You're going to have a decision that results in a direction that results in a destiny. Decision, direction, destiny. What happened with George Beverly Shea? A decision, had a direction, had a destiny. And the same thing will happen. There's a lot of different roads we can take, and we can get on a lot of different ones. So let's look at the decision that he has. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'll get it later. I appreciate it. They're trying to find a piece of paper for me. Or papers. You probably don't want them to find it because that's what I'm going to pass out after for the meeting afterwards. So it might make the meeting rather short. Look over at Hebrews chapter 11. The first decision that you have in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 11. And notice what you have, the decision that his parents made. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Notice their decision by faith, direction they weren't going to kill him, and the destiny was what? Same thing happened. Now, could they have been killed for it? Yes. But they'd rather be killed for it than to kill their son. So notice what happens. That was theirs. I think it's interesting. You have the personal part then about the decision with Moses. Notice in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. You notice his decision. Refused. It's interesting when you look it up. Denied to be called Pharaoh's son. What did he give up? You know, you stop and think about it. Is there any statues or sphinx or anything like that of Moses in Egypt today? Could there have been had he stayed? We don't know. But they don't have anything about him. But why? He made a decision. Right decision, but he made a decision. And what I wanted to do, the first decision he has, and we'll get more into it in just a minute, was he chose to live for the line and not for the vine. He chose to live for eternity and not. Notice it's interesting, it says the passing pleasures of sin. You know, you think about with Pharaoh, and I was reading about a king not a couple of years ago down in that's living in Africa, and all the different wives he has, and has 100 sons, and all the rest of it. You think, you know, there's so many different things. Scripture doesn't deny that he had. There is a lot of pleasure in sin. There is a lot, but it's only for here and now. And what are you going to pay for? And Moses chose no to that, giving it up. So that was his decision. I think it's interesting when you have it. You look in Colossians, you have to turn there, in chapter 4, when Paul was in his first imprisonment, in verse 14, he says, Demas also greets you. He then was freed, he wrote 1 Timothy, then he's back in prison the second time, about to die, in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, in verse 10, and what does it say? Demas has left, why? Loving this world. So notice Demas then left and chose the temporary, the dot or the line. So what we have is we have decisions we're making all the time. We all come into different roads. We make a decision, we go down one road. Another thing is going to come up and you have another decision. You think about it with in Daniel, for instance. Chapter 1, he had to make a decision. Eat the food or not. Chapter 2, he had to make a decision, didn't he? I'm bowing down. Chapter 3, what about his friends? They also had the decision in chapter 1 and chapter 3. Are you going to bow down to the image or not? Chapter 6, Daniel alive, then what happens there? Does he have to make another decision? Am I going to worship and have a knownness in front of the window like I always have or not? We are constantly having decisions in our life that cause directions, that cause destiny. So when we think about the legacy that Moses had, follow his decisions, which follow directions, which follow his destiny. So let's look at think about the directions that he took, obviously. He chose the reproach. Notice in 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. Was there any treasure in Egypt?
Yes.
You know, let's look at King's Tut, you know, his treasures of him. I mean, that is tremendous treasures that he had available to him. And he chose the eternal treasures. How much land did Moses own? What kind of house did he have? What kind of inheritance did he leave his children financially? But we call him a success. So stop and think about it. So often we think of a legacy. Are we really looking at the proper legacy when you look at it? So he made a decision. We had the direction. And then notice the destiny. You had that. He was looking for the reward. The word there for reward is interesting. It means to be, to recompense. It's two words put together, to be repaid. Same thing it was used. You think about it. You remember when when you have the person that, you know, basically the Levite passed by and so on, and you had the Samaritan comes by, the Good Samaritan. And you remember when he helps the individual and the innkeeper, and he says, anything else that you have to spend on him, I will what? Repay. That's the word you have here. It's used, go back one chapter, same words used. Notice in verse 34 of chapter 10 and verse 35. Says, speaking to the Hebrews, doesn't want them to give up. For you have shown sympathy, this is verse 34, chapter 10. For you have shown sympathy to the prisoners, accepting joyfully, that's amazing to me, joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have yourselves a better possession, an abiding one. You're losing what you have now. They're taking it from you. But you have an abiding one, an eternal one. Notice in verse 35, same word. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. So, by faith, he gives up all this in order to gain an eternal reward. He chose to live for the line and not for the dove. And all of us have to make that decision. You stop, let me give you some examples. You stop and think about this. Jim Elliot, obviously, we heard the quote so often, died very young, obviously, as a missionary. He is no fool who what? Gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Did he give up his life? But did he gain something? And one of his greatest ambitions was to have more people go to the mission field. And part of what happened to those five young men resulted in a great surge in missions in the United States and push in 1956. What about C.T. Studd made this statement? We have one life, soon will pass. What we do for Christ is all that will last. Another one of his famous quotes. And you look at what they gave up. And he's one of the greatest cricket players ever, and he gave it all up to go to the mission. He made another statement. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for him. So you notice these men, all Moses, they did what? They lived for the line and not for the dove. And we have to make the same decision. We can go part of it, part of the time, and then change. So first question is, what are you living for? It will determine your destiny. Notice the second decision that he has. Verse 27 of chapter 11. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Notice the second one, leaving the familiar, or if you like, going from the known to the unknown. Did he know where he was going? No. All your life, you knew that, and now you're going to the unknown. Obviously, very similar to in Genesis chapter 12. What does God tell Abraham? Pick up basically your family and your bags and go to a land I'll show you. What land? I'll show you. Notice he had a decision to make. You then have a direction that he took. And you have a destiny. The same thing is true for us. A decision, a direction, and a destiny. Look at it. He left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. Well, did the king come after him? Who's the one that had him go back into a cul-de-sac to speak of, a dead-end road for the Pharaoh to have him trapped? God did. You know, a lot of times we do not understand the roads that God takes us on. They look like dead-end roads. But you'll notice he did exactly what he was told to do. And then notice it says what it tells you right there at the end, seeing him who is unseen. In Hebrews chapter 11, or 12, and verse 2, I think it's an interesting statement. It says, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus. Matthew 9, when Peter, you know, he says to the Lord, if it's when they're, you know, they're in the boat, the storm's tossed them, about to tear it apart, and they're scared to death, and Jesus is walking on the water, he says it's him. What does Peter say? If it's really you, Lord, bid me to come. Now, how many of us would do that? And the Lord says, come, what would you do? I'll wait till I get on land, right? In the middle of a storm, I mean, they had life jackets and everything in those days. You know, they had life. And what did Peter do? A decision and a direction. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, onto the circumstances, what happened? He started to sink. No different than when you and I. So notice, I think it's interesting, he goes from the known to the unknown. each day, was it obviously following the, whether, you know, the fire or a cloud, whatever, he was still following the Lord, but those are things that he really didn't know. So think about it. With Israel, it's an interesting statement. It says he left Egypt, right? Israel left Egypt, but it had Egypt left Israel. Every time you turn around, Israel wants to go back where? They want to go back to Egypt. What about you and I? How of us, we have we left our Egypt, whatever it might be? And no turning back. Don't look, don't turn back, nothing. Moses left it, but the people so often didn't. In fact, they even tried to appoint leaders to take them back to Egypt. I'd rather be under captivity and have the known, and have food, and then follow you and the unknown. Interesting. We saw that with George Beverly Shea. I think it's an interesting parallel that you have. How many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Joey Stevens? Older people are probably remembering. He's still alive today. He's 87 today. In 1965, 64, he was considered the new Frank Sinatra. Traveled with Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, sang, has a phenomenal voice. His real name is not Joey Stevens, but they suggested he change his name to Joey Stevens. He was tremendous singer. His voice is absolutely gorgeous. He still sings today. In fact, he sang 2 months ago up in Claremore in 87. When he was in 65 and 66, his family left. He was on drugs. He was on alcohol. And his wife and child left. And his father was a pastor, had passed away. His brother is leading the church. And he went to the railroad tracks in Marietta. He's going to commit suicide. Just before, he called his brother. The brother says, "You stay right there." They stayed up all night. Turned his life over to the Lord. He's been singing for the Lord ever since. What's his real name? Dave Boyer. Ever heard of him? Interesting. He's listened to one of his songs. I think Put Jesus First in Your Life was one of his songs. He sang up at First Baptist Claremore July 7th of this year. Still does concerts at 87. But notice the difference. He had a decision. He had a direction, he had a destiny. He makes a new decision, a new direction, and a new destiny. Same thing that happens. So notice the first one you had, he talks about with Moses. He chose the line and not the dot. Second one, he was willing to go from the known to the unknown, leaving the familiar. Notice in verse 28, I want you to think about this. Doing the unusual. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so that he who destroyed, talking about the destroying angel, the firstborn, would not touch them. Now, when you think about it, how many times have they ever, you know, you think about the God tells you, and you're supposed to then relate to the people. All right, death angel's coming. Take the blood of a lamb, unblemished lamb, and put blood on each of the doorposts and on the top. If the death angel comes by, it's going to passion. And what would you think? How is that going to keep the death angel away? One, do I believe it's going to happen? How is he going? Notice the death angel came and it included everyone and included even the livestock, but it did not touch anyone. It didn't. But he was willing to do the unusual. God told him to. How many of us are willing to go in wherever God tells us to go? Do whatever God tells us to do. God gives you the ability. We saw that on Wednesday night. God gave Saul the ability to be the king. He wasn't God's choice, but God still was gracious and gave him the ability. He chose not to do the directions he should. He chose not to do those things. But what about you and I? I think it's interesting when you look at this part of it. He was willing to make the decision to do the unusual. He did exactly what he was told to do, told the people what to do. And also, how many, you think about it, you've been a slave, okay, not only are you supposed to do this, but you're also supposed to tell Egypt and all the people, all right, we want your possessions when we leave. We want you to give us your gold. When people knocks on your door and says, hey, we're leaving tonight, you know, we've been taking care of you all this time, and we want you to bring all your jewelry out and give it to me. How many of us would have said, man, what have I been drinking? You know, this is, you know. Seriously, how much would be obedient to do that? That's part of why God had all the miracles, to show Israel. He could have done the 10th miracle first. He was showing Israel and Moses all these things. God's done miracles in your life too, hasn't he? You know? Those are building blocks. So you think about it, what's God asking you to do? You know, obviously one thing's interesting, William Borden, what can you tell me about him? Errol obviously knows a little bit about him. Coming from a millionaire's background, he gave it all up to be a missionary. His father said, if you do that, you won't have any inheritance. He left anyway. He was in Cairo. He was contracted a disease and died before he ever got to the mission field. He was in language school. And to get to his grave is not even on the main road. But what's his famous statement? Interesting. No reserves. He had no money left. No retreats. Not going back. No regrets. Only to serve the Lord. Do you think there's a treasure waiting for him? There's other decisions. What about Joshua? You know, I'll just give these some of you. When you think about it, Joshua 24 and verse 15, you remember Joshua right towards the end, and he said, you know, if you want to follow the Amorite gods or whatever you want to follow, you can. But he says, choose yourself whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. A decision, a direction, a destiny. What about 2 Kings 18, verse 21? You remember you had Elijah and he gathers all the people together? And they're having the contest between him and the 400 Baal worshipers and so on, the priests. And he says, how long, I'm talking about to Israel, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. How many times are we trying to straddle the fence? Make a decision that's going to result in a direction that results in a destiny. It will not be easy, otherwise it wouldn't be a walk of faith. What about Galatians 1 and verse 12? Paul makes the statement, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He made a decision what? To be a bondservant. Therefore it makes a direction and a destiny. What kind of background did he have? Could he have been pretty bit high up in Judaism? He certainly could have, but he chose to follow. Think about it. Let me give you some ones you stop and think about. What about the Samaritan woman? She made some wrong decisions, wrong direction. But did she change and make a new decision? And made different things. What about Matthew 9 and verse 9? It says, Matthew, the tax collector, he made a decision, a direction, and Jesus says, follow me, and what did he do? He followed him, made a change. You look in Luke chapter 6, he's naming the 12 apostles, and he says, Simon the what?
Zealot.
Zealots were basically people who were against Rome and would use, also called the dagger group. They'd slip up and knife one up because they wanted to get rid of Rome. He had a decision, and so on, and a direction. He now changed to follow Christ. What about Zacchaeus in Luke 19? He said, what, anyone that, well, you know, being a chief tax collector, which means he had those under him, and you would make obviously a lot of money by using the power of Rome, you collect more than you should. What did he say? How do we know he made a change? He said, half of my income I'm going to give to the poor. I mean, that's it. That's a lot. And anyone that I have wronged, which obviously he'd have records, anyone I have wronged, I'll pay back what? Four times. Not just pay back a little. Not just pay back what I took from them. I'm going to give it fourfold. That's pretty good interest. I mean, that's what our government does to us all the time, right? You stop and you think about it. There was the change. So for any one of us, we make decisions that results in a direction, that results in destiny. But they were constantly making those decisions. But we can be on a wrong road, but that doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can get off of it. So you stop and you think about it. What is the legacy of Moses? For me, it would be this statement. Shepherd the flock with integrity in word and deed. He cared so much about them that he wanted a shepherd to take his place. God, you choose the shepherd. They need directions on how to do it. He wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the first 5 books to help them. And it's helped every nation that's been willing to follow it ever since. Did he give a good legacy to his 2 sons? You bet. Yeah. So what legacy are you leaving? What legacy would you like? Think of your decisions, which is going to result in directions, which is going to result in destiny. Think about it.
We'd love for you to come and visit with us and fellowship with us. We're located at 8263 North Owosso Expressway, which is on the east side of Highway 169 North, between 76th and 86th Street North. We have coffee and fellowship from 8:30 to 9 Sundays, followed by Sunday school for all ages from 9 to 9:45, and our Sunday morning worship service is from 10 to 11. We likewise have a Wednesday night service for all ages from 7 to 8. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way the Lord be with you all the time.